All right, and we are here back with the Leyline podcast here with Dr. Anthony Bean and
Dr. Joe Atanasio.
And we're back for our second recording because we are so awesome. And I think this week or this time we are going to actually talk a lot about three games, a bit of what we really kind of like about them. The games are Abzu, Flower, and Journey. And I think that Dr. Joe Atanasio is going to be a solid bit here because he's played all three of them pretty recently, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, in fact, I think I probably mentioned them in our first podcast. They were games that I've just found myself, first of all, being able to play since I'm just so ridiculously busy and I have two kids and three different jobs. So these are the types of games that I can really jump in and play and then jump back out and just keep on going where I left off. However, I think it's more than that. I think there's also something about the artistic design of these three games and the way the gameplay is designed that is just very engaging for me where I am right now in my life. I think I had mentioned I have sort of strayed away a little bit from shooters or from online competitive games like League of Legends or World of Warcraft, which I used to really be into, especially during my 20s. Now, in my mid-30s, I've just naturally been drawn to more heavy narrative games, but also because of my limited time, these types of games that still can evoke very powerful motions in such a small amount of gameplay time. It's actually quite amazing. They're beautiful to look at. And I think the way I like to describe them is I almost feel like in these games, I am creating something rather than consuming something. And it's not the typical type of creation that you might say you might find in something like Minecraft, right? But I'm creating something else. I feel like as I'm engaging in these games and playing the game and going through the wonderful world that's been created, I am creating my own little journey, my own little story, my own art, my own picture as I just seamlessly flow throughout this very simple narrative. And all three of these games really have simple narratives, but very powerful emotional ones. So
they do. I have them kind of ordered right here: Flower, Journey, and then Abzu, kind of in the order they came out, which I didn't even realize Flower was out so long ago, 2009. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. That's been out here forever.
Yeah, and I really hadn't only played it until I think a couple of years ago. I know that it is, it has such a unique feel to it that is also a little bit consistent, and you can see how it has influenced both Journey and Abzu, partially because some of the same individuals who worked on Flower and some games actually that came before it went on to work on Journey and Abzu as well. But I believe Flower was designed by Genova Chen, Chinese video game designer. And he had created some other games, which I haven't actually heard of or played yet. I'm excited to. I think I actually played Flow, but I have not played Cloud. And I think that was one of his first games. And from what I'm looking at it right now, it seems to be very reminiscent of what I've played in with Flower. But yeah, I mean, we could want to start off with Flower.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that, because I mean, it comes from that publishing company, just that game company. Yeah. I mean, that's literally what they named it. And I think that's kind of obviously branding and genius.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we know it as, what was that game company? Oh yeah.
yeah, I know that one. It's like the who's on third.
Yeah. So I think the greatest part about this game is just the way it starts off. And that is just this single flower, and the petals are falling off, and you are a single petal. That's how and if you don't know what you're getting into, I think you start off with this game like, what? I'm a petal? And immediately though, as the wind comes in and it starts flowing and the petal just starts following this path of the wind, and you get to like sort of direct the petal that you are and what direction you want to go, it all makes sense. And right from the first like 10 seconds of the game, the controls just feel wonderful. A smile comes to your face because you're like, oh wow, I get this now. I'm a petal. I'm just flowing through the air. And the only thing I have to do is collect more petals as the wind.
You know, when I first saw this game, I was deathly afraid of like, oh my God, I'm going to fall into the grass. I'm never going to get free. If I'm not mistaken, the way the programmers have created is that can't happen because there's always going to be a gust of wind kind of carrying you a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it just, you never, sometimes the camera angles on a technicality, you know, is the camera angles can get a little funky sometimes. But you're able to get out of any kind of stuck camera position pretty quickly. Of course, and this will be another very large component to all the games that we talk about, the sound production on these games. Oh,
music, I know. We're going to have like just four or five of these things just on music.
Yes, absolutely. It's quite amazing. Every single petal that you collect creates a musical note. And I'm not gonna lie. I sometimes would just go and collect petals, even if I didn't need to, just to hear the wonderful dings and dongs and chimes of all these petals. I felt like I was creating music. And that sort of goes back to what I was saying, that this is a game where you are a creator rather than a consumer. You're creating this wonderful mass of flowing petals that are interacting with each other with the wind, and they're just streaming across the landscape. And then every petal you pick up, you're creating a musical note, and the next one is a musical note. And soon, if you collect them fast enough, it just is this cacophony of wonderful sounds. It's amazing.
And you know, when game producers go and create those types of things, it actually kind of increases our wants to go forward with that. And so it's a wonderful tactic. And we've all kind of, not on the podcast or anything like that, talked about like how music is so integral to the video game itself and what it gives us those types of feelings. Mm-hmm. But there's also the aspect of if it drives us, it's one of the mechanisms that just brings us together in that way. Yeah. How do you think that Journey does something like that too?
Journey also does that, but in a much more orchestrated kind of way, literally orchestral. You know, the orchestral backdrop and soundtrack to that game is just amazing, and it flows perfectly with the narrative of that story of Journey. You know, there are those sort of just low moments, almost silent moments, where you're just walking across this barren desert, and then as soon as you start skidding down these sand dunes, the music picks up, the strings pick up, the wind instruments pick up, and you just feel just excited about whatever is coming next over the next, you know, sand dune. So I think it does it in a much more elegant kind of way, for sure.
And I think what you just kind of touched upon a little bit is the way that the music kind of drives our flow states a little bit there too. where kind of like when the music was going down, it reminded me of Prince of Persia, where if you ever played, I think it's 2, and you're starting to be chased by one of the enemies because the enemy randomly appears and tries to destroy you. If you feel like you hear the music start pumping up and you hear like reminiscent of like Metallica going, and it's like that, and you're like, oh crap, what's going to kill me? What's going to happen? And I think that's kind of one of the cues that makes one of these three games really great, but it's also something that a lot of people sometimes don't pay attention to. Some people I've talked to have mentioned that they actually turn down the volume so they don't actually hear it because they think the music is distracting. And we're all like, wow, how can you do that? I mean, I don't know if I would be able to play like say Dead Space or Doom Eternal with the music turned down, because I'd be like, I don't know what's happening. And then something comes and kills me. I'm like, what? Why didn't I hear that? Oh, the music's down. That's why. So I think what you're talking about is that music aspect is just super, super important to these games, but also in general. What about Abzu? Because I saw this one that you actually introduced me to Abzu on that one. And I thought the game was cool.
Yeah, it's also developed by that game company. And
Journey was done and co-produced with with that one. This one looks like Giant Squid Studios.
Yes, you're right. However, some people came over from Journey onto Abzu, including, as we're talking about music, the main composer, Austin Wintory, I didn't even know this. Apparently, Journey was Grammy nominated.
I think I knew that. It was like the way of Flower, I think, was nominated for like best independent game, I think.
Yeah. This guy is great. I probably want to kind of listen to all sorts of stuff that he's created even outside of video games, because the soundtrack in Abzu is so meditative. In fact, it's where I got the idea for some of the meditation sort of video game background clips that we've already made. It's the sound is just amazing, integrated with the sort of natural sounds of sea life that they've somehow recorded and incorporated into the music as well. You really feel like you're underwater. There is a little bit of this underwater effect as well. That's amazing how you like burst up out of the water up to the surface and then go back down and swimming with pods of dolphins that are echoing, you know, alongside you. It literally takes Journey and the soundtrack from Journey, the orchestral music of Journey, and like somehow takes it a step up. I don't know how, but it does.
And I think that the way that a lot of composers and producers are starting to merge these types of things are, one, amazing, but also super awesome that we get to experience stuff. Because if we've talked about like the previous graphics, if we put like 1985 graphics on Abzu, we'd be like, oh cool, look at this little 8-bit character going down, here's this 8-bit shark coming this way. But no, this one's like a fully immersive, has tiny little cutscenes in it, and it's just really breathtaking in the amount of effort that they put into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's also great about all these games is I think they all have, they are never murky about what themes they are representing. Although the narrative is not like written out, there's no real dialogue in any of these games. The narrative is very clear. And I think the themes and the cultural influences of all these games are very clear. You know, we have Flower, that is just this story about the tension between urbanization and the natural world. And you eventually, as the wind and flower petals, have to, you know, find a way to overcome this sprawling, creative structure of buildings and cable lines and factories that you sort of have to overtake and break down and bring back to nature. And then you have a journey with a lot of its Middle Eastern sort of cultural influence in the architecture and the art. And there's a little bit of also sort of Eastern influences as well. Maybe, you know, I don't know, Chinese, Tibetan kind of influences that just really integrate nicely.
Yeah, it just takes it home for a lot of people, and really I think brings the game itself to a completion stance where it feels like we are, in a way, like really immersed within that standpoint of being able to swim, capture these little robots, and then eventually lose them. Unfortunately, because I don't know about you, but I'm a collector of things in online right now, and I saw this meme which we posted as well, that was like, okay, you know, here are, like, at the beginning of any video game, here are five things, you know, they're very spare, you never want to, like, you don't, they're rare, you don't want to use them. And it's like, okay, so you want me to hoard them? And they're like, no, you know, you just use them wisely. Got it. Hoard it like a dragon. Done. And I'm like, that's kind of the way that I run in the games as well, as I'm playing like the new one. Some of these new ones that have come out, they're like, okay, yeah, here's some sparing stuff. I'm like, cool, I'm going to buy 20 of them. I'm never going to use them, but I'm going to have 20 on hand of at least everything at all stages of it. And I think that kind of goes into the aspect of where these games really bring us to together and focus on a lot of these different musical notes, but also the different traditions, Eastern, Western, everything that kind of brings us into a more knowledgeable stance. If you know, we know where to look in and everywhere. But yeah. I think one of the biggest things that people really liked about Abzu was that it actually mirrored a little bit of The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker too, in the way that it's artistic shading. And a lot of people in the Nintendo community, it's either a love or hate game. I don't understand why, because any Zelda game I'm a big fan of. But one of that type of shading technique, it can be seen as cartoonish in some way, but also very relieving and beautifully done if it's done correctly. I mean, what are your kind of thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm totally for unique type of art design and shading. I'm quite honestly tired of, you know, sometimes the struggle, especially as like new systems and generations come out, of like making things more hyper realistic, which is great and it looks great, and certainly I think there's a place in it for certain types of games. I mean, these are the types of games, though, like when we're talking about Journey and Abzu, like they're the games where do you really need anything hyper realistic in terms of graphics? No. Like I think actually it definitely plays better to the shading that is just very nice and soothing to look at. You're looking at just this wonderful art, you know? It's like going to a museum, and not everything has to be hyper realistic modern art. You know, there's impressionism or cubism, right? That is just as pleasing to the eye. Maybe not cubism. Cubism was, I guess, meant to be,
I mean, it depends on which charm. Circle. It depends on which circle you're running around in.
but yeah, I definitely love just everything, the way the background and the backdrops and the seaweed was sort of designed in Abzu. What I also really like is the fantastic detail on all of the sea life. And when you're talking about collecting, that's what I collected in Abzu. Like making sure there's a point where you can like sit down on these sort of stone idols and meditate. And as you're meditating, your mind just wanders off to the entire outward environment, and you're just following various sea life and sea creatures. And then your mind can go off to a different one. And as you're doing that, you're just like looking at the different sea life, and it sort of labels what it is, like what it's, you know, animal, what animal you're actually looking at. And it feels like you're learning something a little bit. You're like, oh, that's a barracuda. That's what it looks like. And that's a mollusk or whatever. And it just goes. And I feel like I'm collecting all the various knowledge of all these different sea creatures, which is kind of cool.
I agree 100% with you on that completely. Okay. Well, I think that this has been very insightful and really awesome for us to kind of talk about it more. And I think that we're going to switch gears on our next one a little bit and have some more fun talking about some games.
Awesome.
So this is Dr. Anthony Bean signing off.
And this is Dr. Joe Adanasio. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.